This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. We're so excited to introduce you to Great Jones. Great Jones makes high-quality, thoughtfully designed cookware that's so stunning you won't want to put it away. They have everything from Dutch ovens to ceramic dishes to non-stick sheet pans. They've got everything you want. I have the Saucy, which is a terrific saucepan. It has curved sides. It has a pouring spout. It has a lid. And it looks so elegant. It's really a pleasure just to look at it on the counter, even before we're using it.
Yes, I love all the colors.
Yeah.
They make stunning gifts that are actually useful. Weddings, housewarming parties, birthdays. It's the perfect gift for the foodie in your life. So upgrade your kitchen and replace those old rusted hand-me-downs with bold, beautiful, long-lasting pieces from Great Jones. Get started today at greatjones.com and get an extra 15% off your first order with promo code HAPPIER. That's greatjones.com, promo code HAPPIER.
Hello, and welcome to Happier, a podcast that gives you strategies and tips for how to build happier habits into your everyday life. This week, we'll talk about establishing a weekly power hour and discuss how identifying whom we most envy helps us to know ourselves better. I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, and human nature. I'm in New York City, and with me is my sister, the sage, Elizabeth Kraft, who's my happiness guinea pig and questioner.
That's me, Elizabeth Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in LA. And despite the fact that I often feel like the Oscar to Gretchen's Felix, she does make me happier.
All right, Elizabeth, let's begin. We're going to start with a suggestion you can try at home. And this week, our try this at home tip is to institute a power hour. Now, I came up with the idea of power hour because I wanted a way to have a habit of dealing with the non-recurrent, diverse, annoying tasks that just kept crowding onto my to-do list, but that just never got done. You know, there was nothing urgent about them. They didn't have to get done. So week after week would go by and I would just never get them done. But how do you have a habit of doing something that really you only have to do once? You only have to fix the office chair one time. So I decided I was going to set aside 1 hour, because 1 hour seems manageable even to me, 1 hour once a week for power hour, when I would tackle as many items on that list as I could.
I think this is a great idea. It's something I could really use because I have so many of those tasks that I don't even think of them as tasks. I just think of them as things that will never happen. Like the light bulb in our bathroom. I mean, it's been out probably 2.5 years. I mean, it just wouldn't even occur to me to do it, you know? And I think not only would a power hour be good for me, it'd be great to do with Adam. Like, yeah. It's like we need a couple's power hour where we do things that like we need to do as a couple. Yeah, like clean the garage. Well, I guess that's really more like a power 2 days that would take.
Right.
But again, it's something that will never happen if we don't set aside time. But yeah, this idea that this time is devoted just to these little tasks that build up and build up and build up, I think that's great. And I love the name Power Hour.
Well, and the fact is that something that can be done at any time is often done at no time, because you always think, well, I'll get around to it, but you never feel like getting around to it. And really, it's those tasks that you never start that exhaust you the most, because they just build up and they drain you. And every time you look in the bathroom and you see that light burned out, it sort of bums you out. But there's no plan for tackling it, so it just festers.
Yeah, you know what this also reminds me of, Gretch? Is Jane Espenson, who's a very talented TV writer here in LA. She on Twitter does these things called writing sprints. And she started it a while back. And she'll just out of nowhere say, okay, writing sprint at the top of the hour, do whatever project you want to do for an hour without interruption. It doesn't have to be writing. It could be knitting. It could be cleaning the kitchen. It could be editing. It could be anything. And it's like this focus time, and people really get excited about it and jump in and do it. And it's kind of started this Twitter phenomenon in Los Angeles, at least.
Well, and then the thing is, the idea that you're doing it like as a couple, or you're doing it with these other people, it's sort of that could also give it more power. But I think one of the things about it also is that a lot of them actually don't take that long. That's part of what's gratifying when you start is a lot of these. I had one thing that took like 45 seconds that I had been waiting for like 6 months to do because I just kept putting it off and putting it off.
What was it?
It was some complex email related to I don't even know what. But it was just like I just had to focus enough to like put it into words and look up the person's email. And then when it was done, I just felt this huge sense of relief. Or, you know, one thing is like making an album out of my digital photos. I mean, you know, if I just can let that go and month after month after month goes by. But, you know, if every once in a while I do it, then also, first of all, I remember how to do it, which is kind of taxing for me. So it's easier. And it's just not such a huge task if I do it periodically. But there's never a cue to do it. I have to decide to do it. And that's why it goes into Power Hour. Oh, but here's something I wanted to tell you that's cool about the name Power Hour. It's an example of what's called the fluency heuristic, which is that ideas that are easier to remember or say seem more valuable, which is why Power Hour sounds like more fun than to-do list time, because to-do list time, it just sounds boring. But Power Hour has kind of a nice ring to it.
Yeah, it sounds like you're taking charge and you're going to just pummel that hour into submission.
Yes. So let us know if you do try this at home and whether having your own Power Hour makes a difference. And what did you do with your Power Hour? Post about your Power Hour at the Gretchen Rubin Facebook page. You can also send me a tweet at Gretchen Rubin, to Elizabeth at Elizabeth Kraft, or drop us an email at podcast@gretchenrubin.com.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive.
I know that when I've been hiring, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to find quality candidates. It's really hard to handle the process. Hiring is easy when you have lots of quality candidates, like with LinkedIn Jobs. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Elizabeth, now it's time to talk about a question that will help you know yourself better. And this week, the question is, whom do you envy? Now, this is an uncomfortable question because envy is not a pleasant emotion. But it turns out that envy is actually very helpful because it helps to shine a spotlight on something that sometimes we try to hide from ourselves. Like, we don't want to admit that we feel envy. And if you really confront that envy, though, it can really tell you something useful about yourself. Because if envy means that somebody has something that you wish you had. And when you know that, then you can ask yourself, well, is there a way that I could have that thing too? That envy is shining a spotlight on something in my life that I feel like is missing, or there's some kind of gap or loss. And so it's unpleasant to feel it, but it's helpful.
This one is going deep because this is, you know, sort of an embarrassing reveal. Who do you envy? Whom do you envy?
Yeah, it is.
So I can't wait to hear yours, but I'll give up mine.
Uh-huh.
Which it's a past person. Let me take you back to 1997.
Oh, it's very specific.
It is. Well, you know, The View debuted in 1997. Barbara Walters.
As we all know,
five different women with five different points of view, you know, talking. And I watched the debut episode and there was this girl, Debbie Matenopoulos, was on the show. She was probably about 20 years old. I think she'd maybe just graduated from NYU or something. And I was so envious of her being on that show. And not as if I'd ever done anything in my life, by the way, toward being a talk show host. I mean, whatsoever. But as soon as I saw her, I was like filled with rage. I called mom. I'm like, did you watch The View? Don't you think I'd be better than Debbie Matenopoulos on that show? Of course, she thought I was crazy.
But by the way, you would be amazing at that. Like that, you would be. And back then, you would have been too. You would have been great on that show.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think so. At least Debbie Matenopoulos had been trained and, you know, reading a teleprompter. But anyway, it's funny because when I think about it now, it really highlighted at least that I wanted to be in entertainment, you know, and years later, I ended up moving to LA and et cetera, et cetera. But it's like, I can still feel that just sort of that, you know, envy of her and her hot topics.
No, it's like an angry desire is envy.
Yes.
I mean, I have a very specific one, and it was actually super useful to me. So I started out in law, and I was actually clerking for Sandra Day O'Connor. So I had this great law job, and I was starting to think, but all those clerkships last a year, so I had to figure out what I was going to do next. And I sort of didn't know what I wanted to do next. I'd come to the end of like all the obvious things that you do, and I was reading that my alumni magazine. You know, your college sends you that that periodic.
Yes.
Alumni thing that has the notes where everybody explains what everybody's up to. And what I noticed about myself is that when I read about people who had interesting legal jobs, I felt this kind of mild interest. And when I read about people who had interesting writing jobs, I felt sick, just sick with envy. And like, I mean, I had no reason to, I mean, I had never been a journalist. Like I had never written a book proposal. And yet for me, as I was trying to figure out what to do next, that was a big red flag because I was like, the people that I envy are the ones that have something that I want. And even though it doesn't seem to really make sense, there's a clue there. Just like for you, it was a clue about, well, what kind of area do I want to be in? I mean, there's just, it's full of information because you don't randomly envy people. And also it's interesting, like you envy the person who is close to you in age. You envy people that you identify with. And so it's not like you envy Donald Trump. You know, you envy somebody who's kind of within your grasp. That's who we compare ourselves to, is people who are comparable to ourselves. And so this envy really is an important clue.
Yeah, it's like, how can you take that and turn it into something positive?
Yes.
As opposed to just sort of that bad feeling of self-hatred and hatred toward the object of envy as well.
Right. Well, and that's exactly, I think, with all the know yourself better questions, which is like, okay, if you know something about yourself, then you can do something differently and you can think about it. Like a friend of mine was she was always kind of mean about talking about this woman in the office who planned all these exotic trips and went on all these things and was talking about them all the time, as people do. And this woman was like really sort of very snarky about it. And then, you know, of course, over the course of years, what turned out was that naturally she was eaten up with envy and she wanted to have exotic travels and plan all these cool trips, and nothing was stopping her. She could have done it too. And eventually she was like, oh yeah, I could do this. Like, I just need to get myself organized and make some plane reservations. But sometimes it's easier to just kind of be snarky and snipe at somebody as a way of kind of denying those negative feelings rather than saying, okay, what am I going to do about it? Is there something that I actually, if I'm angry because this person has a lot of free time, is there a way I can have more leisure? If I'm angry because this person gets to play tennis every week, is there a way I could play tennis every week? It just helps you figure out kind of a roadmap. Another way to reach us is to leave a voicemail question for me and Elizabeth at 774-277-9336, or easier to remember, 77-HAPPY. 336.
Gretch, it's time for a listener question. This came to us from Tony in LA.
Hi, Gretchen and Elizabeth. I wanted to ask, I get a lot of happiness out of helping my neighbor. She's older and needs help going to the doctor and things like that. And I wondered if there's any science behind happiness and helping others. Love the podcast. Thanks.
Well, this is a great question because he has put his finger on something that is profoundly important about happiness, which is that one of the best ways to make ourselves happy is to make other people happy.
And it is a pleasure, a gratification that we never tire of. There's just something about making other people happy that is enormously satisfying to us. But the funny thing is that often people will sort of act like that's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, well, you can't do anything for somebody else because it's just going to make you feel good. So in the end, everything is selfish. But to me, I'm like, the fact that people are made happier when they make other people happier is like the best thing about human nature.
Well, not to mention anyone who's happier tends to make people around them happier.
Yes.
So it is contagious.
Yes.
Happiness.
Yes.
Or sadness.
Yes.
Right.
That's called emotional contagion. We pick up emotions from each other. So you're exactly right. Happier people tend to make people happier. And, you know, when I see somebody doing something virtuous for somebody else, it makes me happier just to see it, but especially if it's me. And I'm sure that Tony gets enormous satisfaction from the fact that he's being helpful, that he's making someone else happier, making someone else's life easier. But here's an interesting thing. I think a lot of us understand that one of the best ways to make ourselves happier is to make other people happier. But it's just important, what you touched on, that one of the best ways to make other people happier is to be happy ourselves. And so worrying about our own happiness, sometimes people feel like that's selfish and self-absorbed. But when we're happier, we're more able to turn outward and think about other people and to worry about their problems. Happier people are more altruistic. And so if you're happier, you're probably more likely to do things like help out your neighbor. Because if you're less happy, you're going to be more preoccupied with your own problems.
Thanks, Tony, for being our very first caller. We really appreciate it. And to everyone else.
Everybody.
I mean, we've gotten a ton of response from people on Twitter and voicemail and on
email.
Yeah.
So Facebook. It's
been
great.
We love it all.
Yes, 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 yes. If you'd like Elizabeth and me to answer your question on a future show, here's the number to call, 774-277-9336. That's 77-HAPPY-336. There are some stories from our mother's life that I love to hear about. I love hearing about how she played with a tin dollhouse when she was a girl. And just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for our families forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother and mother figures for years to come. And it makes a wonderful keepsake book so you never, never lose these wonderful stories and memories.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, like, what was your favorite toy as a little girl, or what was your first job? All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years, Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/happier. That's storyworth.com/happier to save $10 on your first purchase.
Well, Gretchen, I think I'm starting this week with a happiness demerit, and it involves my iPhone and me being a complete idiot. So a few days ago, my phone went black and that was it. It was gone. Of course, like, I flew into a panic and I drove to the Verizon store immediately and they couldn't revive it.
Oh.
Yeah, so my phone is dead and I have to get a new phone. And I'm going through that, and as I'm going through it, I say to the guy, so then you'll just put my old information onto this new phone. And he was like, no. Well, he goes, do you have it backed up? And I said, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's not a question you want to hear if you're not expecting it.
And yeah, I'm like, I don't think I'm backing it up. And he's like, well, then we can't get the information unless the phone turns on. And so, of course, I did refrain from like screaming and shouting and going into complete whirling dervish mode, but I got very upset.
Yeah.
Because, of course, I have all of my photos and videos of Jack for like the last 2 years on the phone.
Oh, that's so.
And again, my 100% my fault. I never figured out how to download them. I never figured out how to back them up. And I could have easily asked Adam and he would have done it. It's just I didn't. So, of course, he wasn't going to think about it.
Power hour.
Yeah, that's exactly. I need to put that in my power hour. But so It was sad. And I was also just such an idiot. The guy actually asked me if I, he was explaining something to me and he goes, well, have you ever heard of Bluetooth? And I was like, oh my God, I am that big of an idiot standing in this store that everyone just heard this guy ask me if I've ever heard of Bluetooth. So it was one of those things where you know in the back of your mind,
yes,
that it could, this catastrophe could be out there, but you don't let yourself look at it because you don't want to deal with it. And so there you have it. I have a new phone. I am starting over from scratch on the pictures. I am going to take my old phone to some, you know, wizard person the guy, yeah, told me about, who maybe can retrieve my pictures, maybe can't. Certainly it'll be a high cost, like hundreds of dollars, but it is what it is. I did it and I can't take it back now.
Yeah. Oh man. I'm sorry. That is such a bummer. Well, here, can I, let me take you to a happier place.
Yes.
Let's go to the world of gold stars and put that in the past. So this is a gold star I want to give to our father, who has these kind of mantras that he lives by.
And, yes, he does.
And one is energy, and one is enjoy the process. And he says this all the time, enjoy the process. And I have to say, as I get older and older and presumably slightly wiser, I realize how wise this is and how enjoy the process is such an important thing to keep in mind. And I was reminded of it because I'm doing the preparation for my younger daughter, my 9-year-old daughter Eleanor's birthday party. And there's something just curiously, incredibly enervating about children's birthday parties. I don't know what it is. It just like sucks the life out of you. And she wanted to have it at home. It's a hangout party. So we have to do everything. And, you know, so it's like numerous errands. And but that can't go on Power Hour because Power Hour is only for things that can be postponed indefinitely. So if there's something that has a hard stop, like an airplane ticket or planning to go to a conference or planning a birthday party, it's not quite Power Hour because it has to be done. So. But so we were going to the store to pick out the plates, the napkins, the cups, the party bags, you know. And my instinct is like to have a list and check it off and try to get in and out as fast as possible and be incredibly efficient and like try to go to as few places as possible. And it struck me as I was there, I'm like, I'm really being a killjoy right now. Like for her, a big part of the pleasure of this is this part. Like she loves this store in our neighborhood where they sort of have everything. One of these weird New York City stores where it's just like a little bit of everything. And I thought, you know, really, when you're a little kid or even when you're an adult, you look forward to something and then it kind of just comes and goes. It's like, it's never like such an epic event as it was in your imagination. And so a big part of the pleasure for her in the party is the lead up to it, is choosing these things and thinking about what we're going to do, getting organized and setting up the little chairs and stuff. And so I really like dialed back my, you know, type A, let's get it done.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, let's look at every possible paper plate option. Let's look at every single thing you could put in the gift bag. Let's go over here and look at the candles and let's look at the, you know, everything. Because I thought, you know, enjoy the process. It's not just about getting through and crossing the finish line of the party, but really enjoying all of it. And, you know, with my older daughter, Eliza, when she was little, it was all about picking the decoration on an ice cream cake. And they had like a catalog in the store and they had a whole thing online. And I mean, she spent hours and, you know, same thing, like that was the fun part for her, you know?
Right. Getting to plan, enjoying the process.
Yeah. So sometimes what you think is the fun part isn't really the fun part. And the fun part is, you know, going to the drugstore and buying all that stuff. So enjoy the process.
Picking out the plates.
Enjoy the process.
Well, gold star to dad and gold star to you for remembering dad's wisdom and putting it into action.
Right, at the right moment. And that's it for this episode of Happier. Remember, try this at home. Have a weekly power hour and let us know if it works for you.
Our producer is Henry Malofsky. Thanks to Laura Mayer and Andy Bowers at Panoply. Please tell us what you think of the show. Gretchen's on Twitter at Gretchen Rubin, and I'm at Elizabeth Kraft. Our email address is podcast@gretchenrubin.com.
And if you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend and subscribe to us on iTunes and post a review.
Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Kraft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us. Onward and upward.
This podcast is part of the Panoply Network, Check out our entire roster of podcasts at itunes.com/panoply.
I don't know about you, but I'm always looking for ways for my son to get involved and give back in our local community. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Student Visionaries of the Year, a campaign by Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, the largest nonprofit organization dedicated to creating a world without blood cancers.
Student Visionaries of the Year is a 7-week philanthropic leadership development program for high school students. Participants form strong teams and fundraise in honor of a pediatric blood cancer survivor in their local community. This program is transformative. It not only helps students develop valuable life skills like project management, communication, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship, not to mention it looks great on college applications, but most importantly, is also a chance for them to engage in meaningful work within their community and make a real impact on blood cancer patients and their families. You can learn more about Student Visionaries of the Year or even nominate a student at lls.org/students. That's lls.org/students.